Okay, so we're going to talk this morning. My title is probably going to be longer than the sermon. God is always with us. Sometimes we see him, sometimes we don't. Sermons don't always have to be lectures or just, going through an entire topic. When I go to the rescue mission, it's more of a Bible study anyway, but on the third Friday of each month, we go through the whole scripture. A lot of people from the mission actually read the first time through, and we usually go through one or two chapters, and then we go back and reread and go over the specifics of what was really going on in each of the different sections. Today we're going to read the whole story and discuss it as we go, and for those of you who don't know, I've been doing the rescue mission for just over 10 years. I love being there with those guys, and Ed goes every other Monday, but almost now he's into every Monday because they're shorthanded going to the jail and letting people have a chance to talk about Christ. Pastor Rob does service at Clatsop Care in the village. Ed does the actual full service with them there. We all like to share God's messages with others. Hopefully, all of us are out there living our lives in a way that we are preaching a sermon without even opening our mouths, because that's the real thing about living a life. When people know you're a Christian, they want to look and see what you're doing. Why are you different than other people? If you say one thing and then go around and act just like everybody else, doesn't preach a very good sermon. But even when you're not up here in front of everybody, you can be getting out the word of God just by living your life in a good way. How many of you know who Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are? Okay, let me change the question. How many of you know who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are? Okay, everybody shaking their head then. Believe it or not, the Babylonians had captured and taken over Jerusalem. They took tons of captives and brought them back to Babylon to be their slaves. So kind of like when the Egyptians had done many, 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 many years earlier than that. They were all, including Daniel, were all Babylonians, were all Israelites who had been brought to Babylon to serve the king. They literally got picked because they were part of the royal family to be in the very high courts. So they actually had a 3 to 4 year training service that they had to learn everything they needed to know, different languages, different things about the culture. They had to know everything. They excelled at what they did. So the story starts out about 20 years before that in Daniel 1. They wouldn't eat the food that was given to them during the time they were doing their training. The food was actually leftover food and wine from what they had given to their idols. So they said they couldn't do that because they didn't want to eat food that had been dedicated to a different god. So literally they made a deal with the king, and they decided they only wanted to eat their own meal, and they said, if we don't do better after a few weeks by eating our food instead of using it, the king, and the thought there was that if you eat all this glorious food that you're going to do better at your work. So they said, if we don't do as good, we'll start eating your food, but if we can do as good of work while we eat our own food, then we don't have to eat your food. And so they went with that deal, and of course they did excel and beat everybody in all the tests and stuff that they were taking. All of them, including Daniel himself, were relatives of King Zedekiah, so the Israelite King Zedekiah. There are so many great stories in the first 6 chapters of Daniel. We're studying Daniel, actually, this quarter in our Tuesday night Bible study. And just wonderful stories. 1 through 6 all have to do with miracles that God led over the Babylonian kings. So we're going to go straight to Daniel 3 tonight. And we'll miss out the story of the first interpreted dream. and the story of them going to their classes and getting, they did so good, by the way, that Daniel was given almost the highest job in the entire Babylonian kingdom. So he was right next to the king, and the other three, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they were all given the task of running Babylon itself. So just they were kind of in charge of that province. So we're going to start in, again, it's Daniel 3. You can go along with me if you want, or I'm going to be reading it all. Starting with verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all of the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Take a little breath here now. The 60 by 6 cubits is 90 feet in our terminology and 9 feet wide. So it's kind of like the Astor Hotel. It's not near as thick, but as far as height-wise, it's about the same size as the Astor Hotel down here on 14th and Commercial. So it's one of the easiest structures to see anywhere around. Anywhere on this side of the river, it's really easy, but even if you go across the river and drive up and down the river, when you look towards Astoria, it's the one building that sticks out everywhere because it is just so large. They did an archaeological dig in 1854, and they found a large pedestal of a colossal statue, which was thought to be what is left of that actual statue. So they know the measurements and the plate. It was the stand that was there. They actually found it during that 1854 dig. Go on to verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Don't know why it's so incredibly hard to turn a single page, but the two pages are sticking together here. Chapter 7. Verse 7, therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of the king that the king had set up. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar many times got very big for himself. He tended to do that a lot. He had already been amazed in the previous chapter that Daniel interpreted a dream without even being told the dream. So in chapter 2, there's a story that he called all the people together that were his wizards or spiritual advisors, and he wanted them to interpret a dream, which happened many times in the Bible, but he threw a little curveball to everybody. He wasn't going to tell him what his dream was. So he just said, "Tell me what my dream was and interpret." And they all just said, we can't do that, King. That's impossible. And so, as happened all through Daniel wasn't invited to that first meeting. So somebody reminded him in chapter 2, go ask Daniel. Daniel knows this kind of stuff. So he did invite Daniel in, and Daniel said, "Give me one day so I can pray." And he went and prayed. The Lord put the same dream into his mind and the interpretation of that dream. And so King Nebuchadnezzar at that point thought, God was the most incredible thing in the world. He had a dream, and he was able to have somebody tell him exactly what it meant without even telling them what the dream was. And so all of this group, were, as far as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, were very faithful. Even Daniel did much work for the king, but when it came to deciding whether they were going to do what the king asked or what their religious beliefs were, they had to always side with their religious beliefs. Verse 8, at this time some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of God, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pays no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up." These guys did not like our group from being in the court. They were outcasts from the very beginning. They wanted their own people to be there. You kind of look at our governments every new term and the same kind of thing happened. So they wanted them out, and they were looking for any ways to get rid of them, and they thought they had them trapped here. Verse 13, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Again, very big head. The king loved Daniel and really liked our three friends, and is actually trying to find a way of getting them not to be burnt. Now, they've tricked the kings many times into making rules, and rules in that time, once you made a rule, you couldn't take it back. So if you made a law, there was no saying, "Oh, that was a bad idea, I want to change it." That was stuck, and they were there. So verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King Nebuchadnezzar, "King, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God of gold that you have set up." They were very faithful. God was so pleased with their work and put that in their minds that they had to be so strict about what they believed. They couldn't waver. He wanted them all, Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, to be able to stand firm in their belief of God. Just because they were stolen as part of the reward for winning over and taking over Jerusalem, he wanted them to stand firm in their convictions. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. Remember, I told you he liked them, but this was over the edge. He thinks they snubbed him, so he's going to, as it says next, he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. Now, it's kind of hard. I mean, we have things that do it today, you know, this kind of thing, but the 7 times was really 7,000 to 9,000 degrees Fahrenheit, what we're used to speaking. But they heated that up to 7,000 to 9,000 degrees. The Babylonians used, they were actually kilns. We call it the furnace, but it was a kiln that they made many of their military weapons out of. So it's something they were quite used to, and it wasn't a big deal for them to do what the king had asked. Verse 21, so these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the furnace. So literally, they carried him up to the door of the furnace. As they were starting to push him in, they were burnt right there. They died. Three of his some of the strongest of his soldiers that were given the order to take him up there and push them in. The king should have been shocked by this, but he was so mad he just wanted to keep going. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." Then he said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth one looks like a son of God, of the gods," he actually said. So now he's really surprised. Not only are his soldiers dead, but he sees the people that were thrown into the furnace walking around. Nothing, they don't look hurt. They don't look damaged at all. And he now sees a fourth person. Whoever it was, the king thought he was very grand looking. Because remember, the verse says that he looks like a son of the gods. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors all crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Now, living in Astoria, we have a lot of campfires, right? Even when you go to the campfire, don't we all come home and smell and go, "Whew, that's a pretty smelly smoke," because it just sticks right into your clothes. So it's something that happens. But nothing on the fire had damaged them. Their bodies were not affected. Their clothes were in perfect shape. And again, no, not even the whiff of, God thought of everything here, not even a whiff of smoke that was on them from being in a 7 to 9,000 degree furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has set his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up the lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So they already had high jobs. They got promotions out of this. So even though they defied what the king actually was saying. Now, who was that fourth person that was in there? Many people believe it was Jesus himself before he came to earth to be with us, that God sent him to be in that furnace with his disciples. They weren't disciples called then, but with his believers. And there he was there to show love and concern for his people. Did he have to do that? I mean, so many times he doesn't show up. He just, Daniel, a few chapters later, he gets thrown in the lion's den. Nobody sees anything or how it happened, but Daniel comes out unscathed, and the king, to prove everything was okay, throws in some of the families and the people who charged Daniel with the crime, and they were all eaten away immediately. Before they even hit the ground, the lions were slashing them. So God doesn't have to do this. In this particular case, God was not proving to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that he was there with them. They already trusted that he was there with them. So the why he did it this time was to prove to the Babylonians how powerful a God he was. That not only did he help keep these three people safe in the fiery furnace, but he was actually there with them. Now, for those of us who have faith and believe that God is a wonderful companion with us and cares so much for us and never leaves us, we feel him a lot. We know he's with us, even when we can't see him. We know that he's always thinking ahead. He has visions we don't see. In my job, I always told people that my job in our company is kind of like an aircraft, an air traffic controller. I don't fly. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know how to fix a jet. I don't know how to fly a jet. But I sit in a control tower, and I can look and say, hey, oh, if you do that, that's going to affect what this guy is doing. That's kind of what my specialty has been for the last 44 years. So in this particular case, God has that capability. He knows what's going to happen in our lives. He asks us to do certain things, and we just need to trust him. But we can look and say, well, God's not here right now. We need to continue to have that faith that God is with us no matter what we're going through. So the lion's den we already talked about. He wanted them to the Babylonians just to experience his great power. Now again, he'd already done this just in the previous chapter by telling them a dream that only King Nebuchadnezzar knew and interpreted what that dream meant. And then a couple chapters after this, he's going to protect Daniel in the lion's den. But he, in this particular case, he wanted to make it visible that he was there with those of faith. How can we keep their kind of faith today? We can read the Bible. It's God's holy word. We can see all the times he's helped others, sometimes an individual like Daniel, sometimes three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, sometimes the whole Israelite community when he rescued them from the Egyptians. You just have to open your eyes and see, but all the stories are in God's word that he wants us to know. So see how many times he's helped others. Sometimes, remember the times in our lives that miracles have happened. I've had a lot in my life. I hope I have a lot more. I've seen miracles all around me. There are many, and some have just passed us by that we didn't even see or recognize. Probably not with God visible, but you know, we've seen miracles and we don't see God actually there, but we know he's the one that made them happen. Remember that the king had a short memory, even though he did see this miracle happen right in front of him. He was able to see God in Christ actually perform a miracle right in front of him. And it lasted a couple of years, and then he went back to being his more normal self. He wanted to be the center of attention, not the Israeli God. So a few of you, and it was on the prayer request today thing, I'm a guy who doesn't get sick very often. But when I get sick, I really do it good. So I went 20 years at Honeywell, never missed a day of work. It's not that I didn't feel bad certain days and probably should or could have stayed home, but I went 20 years. And at the end of that 20 years, I got sick. I had a gallstone in my common bile duct. It ended up causing me pancreatitis. I spent 6 months off work, 4.5 months in ICU at Methodist Hospital in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. During that time, when I found out I had MS a few years before that, or now my possible problems with the growth they found in my right kidney, I have faith that God is there. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I don't know that he's going to cure me or save me, but I know he has a plan for me, and whatever happens, I need to be able to keep my faith that he's with me. And as long as I do that, no matter what happens, everything will be fine. So. Remember, Paul teaches us that we must be content wherever we are. So I'll be believing and following in Christ all through this ordeal. And again, you know, when you're having a bad day, when you don't know if there's a way out of whatever problem you're having, medical, financial, personal relationship, whatever it might be, just remember that God is there. You don't always see him. He might show himself. We never know until it happens. But keep in mind that he is always there, he's always supporting us, and he is always thinking about what he wants to do for us. So we just have to remember that to make that happen, we need to keep our faith in him. So let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the stories you have given us, all the history and the stuff that can go along, and can most of it can be easily proved that your stories are true. And we know that if you've given us all those stories and we have never seen you fail, there's no reason to doubt you now. So keep our faith strong. Help us keep our faith in you. And no matter what trials and turmoils come up in our life, Lord, help us stay focused on you, that we can rely on you and put all our problems onto your plate, Lord. You'll handle them for us if we just allow you to do it. So thank you, Lord, for this message today. Thank you for touching our hearts. And thank you, Lord, as we go out today, that we'll take these stories to mind as we leave and keep them in our hearts. What a wonderful thing that you've given us your Bible so that we can hide your scriptures in your heart. I know many times when something's come up in my life, Lord, one of those that I learned as a very young child in this church, those verses pop back into my mind, and I remember what promises you have for me. So thank you so much, Lord, and we ask you to continue to guide our paths as we leave this church, both in congregation and individually, Lord. Thank you so much. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.